Great gospel reading. We read it this morning in chapel. I like it's one of those, just what I would call just a sobering word, you know, about just the cost of following him. You know, of course, it's worth it, but it does take all, right? This word, I just kept, this is my prayer time today. The Lord was just giving me some insight. You know, Paul says we're not ignorant to the schemes of the enemy, right? And even though we don't practice the presence of the enemy or glorify anything he does, sometimes you can go through a little, sometimes it's a day, sometimes it's a little short season in your life where the warfare can kind of pick up, you know. And when that happens, it means that you are, you're on the right track, right? You're doing something right. Because you're stirring up stuff, and he doesn't like it. So if you find yourself in that, you know, just you know, hang in there. It will pass. But you know, I just think that a lot of us are experiencing that right now, just kind of intense warfare. But this, I just kept getting this one word, and I just looked up how many times it's in the New Testament. When Jesus says these particular words, and set them in different, you know, contexts, but all meaning the same thing. And the word alert come from two words, to stay awake and to be vigilant and watch, right? Almost with a sense of somebody woke you up. You woke up out of sleep and they're saying, stay awake, you know, be vigilant, be watchful. Because we need to know what the Spirit is saying to the church, right? And I think for a lot of people, he's waking us up. But here's what it says. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. Be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would have not allowed his house to be broken into. Right. And I'll read just several to you. It's not really a end of times word or anything like that. I've told y'all that. That's just not, that's nothing I've ever, you know, taught or read a lot about it years ago, but I don't know why the Lord is just continually just kind of stirring that in me. You know, I was reading something by Mike Bickle, and I think he said there's like 150 chapters in the Bible that's all written or talks about the end times, you know. So evidently it's a big deal, right? But here's what he said, just as, and these are words of encouragement to us. And while we were going away to make purchase, the bridegroom came. And this is about the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, five of them had their lamps, the oil, they were ready. Five weren't. And while they were going away to make the purchase, they were going to purchase some oil. The ones who weren't ready, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later, the other virgins came and also said, Lord, open up for us. But he said, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert, if you do not know the day or the hour. This is in Mark. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. Take heed, keep on the alert. You do not know when the appointed time will come. It's like a man on a journey, leaving his house and putting his servants in charge, assigning to each a task, also commanded the doorkeeper to stay on the alert. Therefore, be on the alert, if you do not know when the master of the house is coming, whether in the evening or at midnight or when the rooster crows or in the morning, in case he should come suddenly and find you asleep. What I say to you, I say to all, be on the alert. This is out of Luke. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed in readiness. Keep your lamps lit. Be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door to him when he comes and knocks. Blessed are those servants whom the master will find alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will gird himself to serve and have them recline at the table and will come and wait on them. Out of Luke 21. Keep on the alert at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. There's one in Acts there. I'm going to kind of skip it. This is in 1 Corinthians. Be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, and be strong. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit and with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then, let us not sleep as others do, but be on the alert and sober. For those who sleep, do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, the helmet and the hope of salvation. This is in 1 Peter, a familiar one we've talked about before. This is an alert. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober or keep alert in the Spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So, I think you're just trying to drive a point home here, right? About our condition of being awake and alert and keeping sober in spirit. The Lord just reminded me of something He told me, you know, months ago, is don't be intoxicated by the world and what's going on around you, and just be fixated on that, right? That's kind of a form of intoxication. But the best you can do, unplug yourself from that, right? Be on the alert. Get alone with God. Hear what God is saying. Hear what He's saying, the Spirit is saying to the churches, right? Be on the alert. That means just to be always watchful. Always your antennas are up. You remember the TVs with the antenna, the rabbit ears? It's to keep your spiritual rabbit ears alert, right? Because we want to be in the flow of what God is doing. We don't want to find ourselves, even though, you know, the apostles, the night Jesus, you know, was praying all night, and he was telling them, you know, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, to be on the alert, to pray. And I don't think I've ever been stirred more in my life to pray more than I'm praying now, you know, and just kind of plugging in by the Holy Spirit. You know, two things that the Holy Spirit, Romans chapter 8 says about the Holy Spirit that helps us is when we pray is to, one, He gets us on the mark, right? We get to join with Him, with God, in the things in heaven to be things on earth. And He always leads us to hit the mark directly. That's the job of the Holy Spirit when we pray. That not just praying in a prayer language, which is really cool, but to join with the Holy Spirit. That's what that means. He intercedes for us. He'll get you on mark. He'll show you what to pray for. And this morning it was two particular things to pray for my life, you know. I'll share one of them with you, because I was seeing like this, like a black widow spider. Yeah, that can't be good, right? And I just kind of doing some research, looking it up, you know, kind of what I stumbled across. And, you know, talked about, of course, you know, witchcraft or, you know, attacks. But especially it said this, the female black spider will kill the male spider, you know. And the Lord just used that as to tell me that, you know, there's a lot of marriages that are under assault, you know. The enemy's just trying to come against families and marriages and stuff like that. And then when it starts happening to you, you know, it comes in little subtle things like things getting on your nerves, right? Or frustration with somebody, just out of the blue, just kind of been hit. And so TC and I have been praying, talking about that, and it's just been, we've been hit, you know, in that area, just lies and just trying to hit our union, because, you know, every morning we just spend time praying together You know, praying for everything, the school, our country, the church, right? And so the enemy hates that, you know? He hates when we come together like that. He hates the intercession. We're just learning a lot about prayer here, Christ the King. Bishop has some really cool sermons. If you want to go back and listen to it, it just kind of changes your perspective about prayer. You know, when you're in the throne room, you're seated there in the heavenly places, and we can participate with God on the things that are happening on the earth, right? We can change things. We just got to really believe that. I was listening to a testimony one time of a guy who was, he was a satanic priest. He was pretty high up in the satanic church. And, of course, he gets saved. Revelation comes out of it. But he said, we would stay up all night in the occult, the satanic church. We would stay up all night, he said, putting curses on people. He said, because we knew it worked. And he said, now, us as Christians, he was saying that, we have a hard time spending 5 minutes in prayer, you know, with someone or together. That's not everybody. And that's not a slamming word, but it's just showing you the power and how we're kind of diverted away from that. The enemy trying to catch us asleep, you know, or kind of lull us in there, which I believe has been going on this whole year through the pandemic and stuff like that. It's just to put us to sleep. Y'all hear me say that all the time. But be on the alert, right? It's time to press in. It's time to, you know, walk with God like you never have before, because things are moving, you know, in the spiritual realm. You just remind me that today, you know, I was just thinking about in Revelation, I don't know how that's going to play out, you know, the 144,000 witnesses, you know, supposed to be 12,000 from each tribe, maybe symbolism, I'm not sure, you know, I don't know if anybody really knows, but I was just thinking about that, how y'all heard me a couple of weeks ago speak on, you know, when the Exodus, Moses, when the, you know, Pharaoh had all the male children killed, time of Jesus, when he was born, another enemy had all the male children killed in Bethlehem and surrounding areas. 1973, of course, Roe v. Wade, I think 60 million children worldwide have been killed since then, trying to wipe out a generation. But also, during World War II, the enemy tried to wipe out the Jewish nation, right? 6 million killed by Hitler, and millions also by Stalin, may even be more than that. But what better way to do that, to take, you know, if you don't know exactly what's happening, let's just take them all out, right? So we've had generations that's just been really under attack. So it's important that we're covering our kids in prayer. We're praying for this generation that's going to help carry the torch. Right? The light is going to get brighter. We don't pay attention to the darkness, but the light is going to continue to get brighter and brighter, right? So pray for our kids. Pray for the school. We're constantly praying for revival to be a part of our daily life. But they need prayer, you know. Very hard. I've never seen a time, especially people their age, where there's so many distractions. And that's what it is. It's all distraction to keep them from, you know, fulfilling their destiny. So make sure that they're covered in prayer. Amen.